Welcome to the Barely Superman podcast, a conversational podcast where I talk to you about things that matter to me today. And today, I'm going to be talking about Pokemon Go again. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so the previous episode, I talked about Pokemon Go, and it was by far and worst, the worst performing podcast episode that I've recorded. So I decided, let me record another one. I don't know. The reason why is, well, I still have more things I want to talk about this game, but the second part is, with the first video, I tried something new. I tried to record and shoot video at the same time, and then when I was listening to it, and I've listened to it multiple times, I realized by doing it that way, I focus more on the video, so it was my highest performing video that my highest performing live stream that I've ever done on my YouTube channel, but it was my lowest performing audio, mainly because, one, the content, Pokemon and Pokemon Go, and two, it wasn't really, for those people that did listen to it, I'm pretty sure that they didn't go all the way to the end, because that video and audio has the traits that I usually have in videos, which is I tend to go on for longer than I can physically go on for. So sometimes my volume just decreases drastically, and then I go into this drony, sort of talking to myself voice, and it's not the... Well, technically, I'm still talking to myself right now, but you get the picture. So instead of that, this is going to be a dedicated podcast, so it's not going to be a video on the side. It's just going to be a podcast dedicated to the psychology of Pokemon Go. Not only that, it's the reason why I still play. And we'll get into that. I always say that. We'll get into that in a minute, but sometimes we don't do it. But this is going to be a really short one. I'm not going to go really long with this one because, it's late. And I just wanted to record. And I had my mic set up because I did a evolution on Pokemon Go. I am now 131 Pokemon strong out of 142, which means 9 left. But these 9 are going to be the hardest Pokemon that I have ever had to get. Hopefully I'll be lucky and I'll get some of these, but it's gonna be a tough final 9. With that being said, I wanted to talk about Pokemon Go and the psychology around Pokemon Go. So one of the biggest things about Pokemon Go is the teams you select, and those teams are very deliberate in the way that they are structured. First of all, the game is actually tailoring you to go pick Mystic, mainly because of some key psychological markers. One, it is the one in the middle, and things that are placed in the middle tend to be the ones that we as humans select. Mystic is blue, and blue is a color, is the most popular color in the world, followed by red and followed by yellow, and that correlates directly with how the teams have been selected. Blue is the majority of the colors by a large mile in the 40s, and then followed by red, I think, in the 30s, and then the rest is... I don't have the direct statistics. I honestly do not have it with me, and I do not want to open up a page. Please Google that to verify my findings, but that is the case. So it's in the middle, and then it's the color that is the most preferred, and also the description. The description is the most gentle of the three, and it's the least laid back of the three, which is again why a lot of people go down. I was about to say go down on. A lot of people choose Mystic, and it's the key words that they use that make people actually look at Mystic in terms of that is the team that they pick. Mystic's language kind of induces and it's the fact that they use something along the lines of Pokemon finding new Pokemon and evolving through like intelligence. That is something that most people want to strive to do, and that in itself is another reason why Mystic is one of the most popular. Using those key factors, as well as Mystic, those people that joined late saw that a lot of people were Mystic players, and Mystic players have the inherent advantage. A lot of people pick Mystic. For me, in my case, a lot of the factors affected me during the picking process, and I did fall for what Mystic was saying. I love the ideal. However, I don't like blue that much as a color in terms of representation of self, and also I don't like the legendary Pokemon Articuno, because I have history with the original Pokemon game, so I didn't pick blue for that reason. And also, I knew that blue was the most dominant, which meant I could easily get XP by picking either red or yellow. And for me, I picked Valor, which is the red team. So that is my reasoning behind that. I wanted to be at a disadvantage so that I could get XP. And I'd like to know, like, what was your reasoning? Which team did you pick? And why did you pick that team? Was it because your friend was already on that team, so you picked that team? Or was it because you saw someone you like on YouTube and you follow on Instagram and they're on a certain team, which is majority of Instinct, which is the yellow team? So I really would like to know what is the reasoning behind why you picked the team you picked. That being said, I'm going to go into really what I find. So, okay, Pokemon Go in itself is a lousy game. How you battle gyms is horrible, and how you capture Pokemon is actually rudimentary, because it's worse than Paper Toss. It's effectively a Paper Toss clone, but it's worse than Paper Toss, because the Pokemon, if you turn AR mode off, they will always be in the middle, but the positioning will be slightly different depending on the Pokemon. With that, and you still get the Pokemon even if it's not in the ring. And also, there's no other factors that let me open the app. I have caught around 200 Pokemon without using raspberries, and 200 Pokemon using raspberries, and the number of Pokemon that have swayed either or has not changed. So raspberries, again, it's more psychological than anything. And also, if you look at the tips, they give you tips on everything else except raspberries, and I have a feeling this is just a massive effect. This is a massive psychological study to see who uses and who doesn't use raspberries. I don't know. That's just speculation. It's hearsay. But raspberries do not add anything. They don't change anything. And I've seen a lot of people on Reddit and the Silph Road, which is something I talked about in the previous one, that have claimed the same thing. Raspberries do not affect your capture rate. The way you throw the ball does, definitely. I can almost 100% speak for that, because I've tried that also. If I got a... Hold on. Everything's going out now. Okay. I've tried that. So, if you get a nice nothing, it's more likely to run away. But if you get a great and a curveball, it's more likely to stay in the ball. So that is the experience, and I've done that with a sample size of 50 on each capture. But the problem with my study is I haven't been studying the same type of Pokemon. To effectively do this, I need to do it on a Pokemon that I see commonly. So it has to be either Pidgey or Drowsy. The problem with catching Pidgey is I find it very difficult to do a curveball and then get Pidgey with a great or excellent, because of how close it is. But that's just something I have to practice on. So what I'll do is I we'll probably not do an episode 3, because honestly, again, like I said, it's my worst performing audio, but I just wanted to have this information out there for those who are actually genuinely interested, that I'll try to do it on Drowsy, because Drowsy is my most consistent Pokemon in terms of how I capture them, and I will do a sample size of 50 on each side, so 50 with just a regular throw outside the circle, 50 sample size with, or 25, let's do 25, because like 50, catching 50 Drowsies is kind of a pain, 25 with outside the circle, 25 with nice, 25 with great, and then 25 with outside the circle but curveball, 25 with curveball and nice, 25 with curveball and great, because honestly I cannot consistently do excellence, but I can do consistently do the other two, so that is what I'll aim for, and hopefully I'll have some statistics and results to either conducively say that does or doesn't, it leads to or may prelude to the capture rate. But then again, I have to do this whilst I'm still on the same level, so I cannot do this whilst 24 and then 25, so I have to and it's quite a grind for me to get from 25 to 26 anyway, so this would be the perfect time if I start now to do that test. The other test that I've actually been doing is, do the Pokemon that you find at nests, and nests being it's a habitat where a certain type of Pokemon spawn, and these nests produce the same type of Pokemon. When I say type, I don't mean like grass type. I mean the same Pokemon. So a Bulbasaur nest will produce a massive amount of Bulbasaurs. And what I've been doing is, I would complete my eggs and make sure I don't swipe any Pokestops, go to a nest, and then collect as many eggs as I can, and then hatch those eggs, and see if the location affects what comes out. And what I've found is, and this, again, this is a sample size of around 25 hatches, I've found that you might not necessarily get the Pokemon that is the nest Pokemon, but the Pokemon that are common to that area. So I went to a nest, but it had the common elements were Nidoran female, and it also had a lot of Pidgeys and, in terms of 2K eggs, Pidgeys and Rattatas or Rattatas, and those were the items that I hatched. But maybe it's random. But what I did notice is, especially on iOS, there, if you collect an egg and then you double tap the home button to do the multitask menu, what happens is there's this glitch that shows you a random array of numbers. I've tried to look at the numbers to see if there's any pattern to them, and for the most part, I found that I can predict when a Nidoran or Nidoran male or female can come up, because in that random assortment of numbers, there is always a male or female symbol in the top left corner. And because of that, I could always predict whether my 5Ks, well, so far it's been 5 hatches with that symbol, and all 5 hatches have become either male or female Nidoran. So I'm not sure if that's luck. I'll have to do that a little bit more, but what I'm doing is, every time I have a new egg, I take a screenshot of that of that code that it generates, and then see if it will hatch into something that I predict will already be a thing. So because the sequence of code, hopefully I can see a pattern, and then once I see the pattern, I can then formulate the next hatch. And that would be really cool to be able to predict accurately and with 100% accuracy what the next hatch will be. That would be awesome, because I will know whether I'll be disappointed or not disappointed. So that's another study I've been doing. Another thing I've been doing is I've been monitoring the spawn times of Pokemon. So Pokemon that don't exist in nests live, they have certain spawns. These may be known as biomes or habitats. And these habitats produce Pokemon that are not as regular as the ones in nests, but are just frequently spawners. And there's certain Pokemon that are very rare to find, but have these biomes where you can effectively kind of predict when the next Pokemon will be. For example, there's a Geodude biome that's near my place. It's about 20 minutes on the train. And this biome allows for Geodudes to spawn in the daytime, but nothing at night, which is fascinating. It's also how I've been using this log system to figure out when I'm going to catch a Pokemon. And an example of this is Mankey. Mankey is a Pokemon that I had seen, but not caught. So the Mankey was spawning near a place where I work at the moment. And what I did was I would log every time I'd see the Mankey come up on my screen. And the Mankey would come up at almost every day at around 11 o'clock, from 11 to 12, and then again from 4 to 5, and then again from, 11 to 12, and then 4 to 5. So what I would do, I would just log that every time I see it, and then I did that for a couple of days, and then I eventually caught the seen Pokemon by just looking at the times that it spawned. So that's a way you can try to find the Pokemon that you've, one, need the candies for, or two, have seen but not caught. That's one way of doing it. The other thing I've been monitoring is when the rare Pokemon come out. And especially, I've been doing this for Holland Park. So, I've been reading a lot of posts on Reddit. Reddit/... Pokemon Go London and Reddit Silph Road, and I've been monitoring when people say they've seen rare Pokemon, and what I've gotten is they tend to appear when there's the most amount of activity from people. So from 11 o'clock to 2:30, which is around lunchtime, and then from 4:30 to 6:30, then again from 8:30. Or was it 8 o'clock? From 8 o'clock to 11:30, those are the times where people get the rarest Pokemon, and that today has been consistent. It's been consistent today and consistent yesterday. So these two findings hopefully could lead to something. Today there was a Porygon at exactly 9:30. There was a Blastoise at exactly 9:45, and then there was, what was the last one? There was a Wartortle at 5:30, and finally there was a, what was the final Pokemon that I saw? I can't remember what the final one was. I can look at my diary, but where is it? Oh yes, there was a Weeping Bell at 1:30. No Weeping Bell. Oh, what's it called? You have the book in front of you. Get to the point. What's it called? What is it called? Okay, that music, it helps. Weezing. That was it. It was Weezing. And the final Pokemon was, it was Kabuto. Kabuto spawned. So that's it. It's been really interesting. So I didn't get the Porygon because it was slightly further away, and when I finally realized it was on the map, I couldn't get to it in time. That's cool. So like, those are the times, if I'm right, if this theory holds merit, if that's correct, that could be very interesting in terms of timing yourselves into finding the rare Pokemon that you need. The next thing, finally, is the reason why I still play. why I still put time and effort into the application. And the truth is, it's because it's... The truth is, though the game lacks in many ways, it's given me so much back that I will continually support Niantic in their endeavors. And by that I mean, Pokemon Go is the biggest nostalgia boost, and it brought back this feeling of adventure that was so long lost that I can't help but continually support this team. And by that I mean, Pokemon had been so lost to me for so many years, and I stopped playing the games, because the way I played the games when I was growing up isn't like the way people play now. People play, it's all about beating the Elite Four, getting all the gym badges. But when I played Pokemon, when it first came out, I was all about completing the Pokédex. It was all about catching them all, and that's what I'm doing right now. So that feeling of nostalgia is it's so deep rooted with these creatures. I used to collect these stickers, and what I'd do is I'd every time I'd catch a new Pokemon, I'd place the sticker in the book to signify that I've caught it, and I would never place a sticker unless I've caught that Pokemon. And it took me 4 years to complete the Pokedex. It's very slow, but, and back then there was no, for me at least, there's no internet in the way you can use it now, where you can just search for where a Pokemon is. It was all word of mouth, and I did it that way, and the game has stirred up those same feelings, because this game is purely word of mouth. And it's all about just how you communicate with people to see where the new Pokemon are, or where the nests are. So this kind of word of mouth is so reminiscent to how I play the game. I can't help but put my time and effort into trying to complete this Pokedex. The other thing is, it's really how Pokemon Go has affected people around me. And by that I mean, it's just, there's a very, very big stigma around British and Londoners in general, that they are seen as rather antisocial. And immediately Pokemon Go came out, you saw that London, that British antisocial nature can easily be disrupted if something as colossal as Pokemon Go comes out and then shifts how people interact with each other. And it's that human interaction that I have never seen in this country. In all the years I've lived in this country, I've never seen, even when there was the riots, even though there was a sense of community, there was never a sense of you and I, even though we have our differences, and there are many differences in terms of teams. I've seen people that are Mystic and Instincts and Valor, even though there's this kind of rivalry around them, there's also this camaraderie, and that's something I've never seen before, not here at least. So that's another reason why I will continuously throw in cash whenever possible, and will always, always try to support Niantic in their endeavor, because they created something that does so much good unintentionally, and that's important to me. And finally, it's how people have, that interaction has also led to very positive things. I've seen people that would never hang out with like the adults that never had time to spend with their kids, just spending time with their kids because either the kids are too young to know about Pokemon, and they have now this common thing that, and common thread that they have with them, or maybe they've been too busy, and then this thing has brought back nostalgia for them, and it's just an excuse for them to be a part of something that they had in their youth. That's great. But more than that, it's how Pokemon Go has been being used to help people. The first story I'm going to tell, and I thought this was going to be a short episode, it's gone a bit longer than I was expecting. The first thing was, I went to Holland Park in London, and there was a child who had effectively, she was wheelchair bound, so there was nothing apart from the motor skills that she had in her mouth to control her wheelchair. She had no mobility at all. I didn't inquire what she had. Could be cerebral palsy or something. But she had no mobility, and one of the negatives about how Pokemon Go is designed is there's no indication of which direction you should go. So for someone who has this kind of disability, this game is the most frustrating thing possible. And then, lo and behold, a legendary Pokemon, or a rare Pokemon, appeared, which, in this case, it was Lapras. And it was quite a distance away from where she was stationed. So what someone did was, they beat me to it. I suffice to say, they beat me to it. But what they said was, we can get you this Lapras. It's on the other side of the hill, because they had just caught it. And just give, is your iPad detachable? So she said yes. And then they're like, we'll run and get it, and then we'll bring the iPad back. And then usually, normally, when you give someone something as valuable as an iPad, that's a red flag. But just because of how nice everyone was, she gave them the iPad. They sprinted as fast as they could to get that Lapras. They caught the Lapras. They came back. They gave her the tablet, and she was just beaming, man. That was like, they had a few kids aged 9 to 12 had managed to do something so nice for someone at such a disadvantage that it was, and everyone was so proud of these kids, and it was so good. It was such a good feeling. And those moments, there have been so many moments like that when playing Pokemon Go, and all the interactions that I've had with people just talking about like legendaries that come up, or sharing information about how to best capture them, or how to use curveballs, or what you're doing wrong, or what you're doing right. All of this has come from just a simplistic app. That is, and it's so good. The other one is a story of mine. The second part is a story of mine, and it's a story that it's one of the weirdest things. So where I live, there. Not where I live, but let's say 45 minutes from where I live, there's a train station. And sometimes you have people that are homeless, and there's generally people sometimes that have no place to go, or have a place to go but do not have the funds to do so. And on this particular night, there was this one person who was just a few pounds / few dollars short of getting to a place that someone could take care of them. This person was hungry and was just a few pounds short of getting to where they were, as I previously said, and this is the second time I'm saying it. So when I got there, and you could see, like, when you walk past someone and you know, like, you just hear their stomach grumbling, and they're just like in pain because they haven't eaten for God knows how long. I asked him if he needed anything. I ran to the nearest restaurant, and but at this time it was quite late. So the only thing I could actually really physically get was McDonald's. But McDonald's was quite a mission away. So I went to the McDonald's. It was a 15-minute journey, and when I came back, I gave him the food, we had a conversation, we kept talking. He was telling me about like the reason why he was down on his luck in that particular day, and honestly his story was very, very moving and very, very touching. And I wanted to do just to make sure that I increased his chance of interacting with people with good intentions, that would help him on his way to where he needed to be. And what I noticed was when I opened the Pokemon Go app, because I realized I had it running in my pocket and it was heating things up, he was sitting right next to a Pokestop. And at this point, I'd never used a lure before. And I thought to myself, this would be the perfect opportunity. So I dropped a lure, and the lure is, as I mentioned in the previous episode, which pretty much no one listened to. I doubt anyone's going to listen to this one as well. But because of that, people were attracted to that lure so that they can get the rare Pokemon, because that was actually one of those places where Pokemon that spawned there were actually quite rare. And rare Pokemon started to spawn, and I had to go because my bus was, it was the last bus, and I had to catch it after what was effectively 30 minutes of conversation. I caught my last bus, and I started to, like, right before the bus was delayed, which was the best thing that could ever happened, because as I was walking away and the lure had just come on, I started to see people go in that general direction. And then, they started having conversations with him, and each person that walked to that lure was feeling generous that day, or maybe they talked to him for a little bit and heard his story in the smallest way possible. And my bus was 5 to 10 minutes late, but enough people came up to give him enough money to get travel. And he wasn't the type that most people think when they think homeless. They think that they're there to just get money, to get alcohol. He literally took all the money that he had, went directly to the bus station, got himself a ticket, and went straight to the place that he said he was going to. He didn't sit there and wait for more money. He got exactly what he needed, what he said he wanted to have, got a ticket, went to the place he needed to be. This is the power of social interaction. This is the power that Pokemon Go has put. And because of that app, he was able to get to a place before the last train, and he didn't have to spend another night on the streets. That's so cool. That is so cool. And that, again, that is why I will, for the most part, put money down. I'll spend some time playing Pokemon Go, because Pokemon Go has done so much good. It's also weeded out some of the people that obviously Dominionism has to come in, has to get rid of all the stupid people, but it's also done so much good. And then the last story is, I have more Pokemon Go stories, but I just want to make this the last one, because it's the coolest one. We went Pokemon Go hunting. I went to a nest. It was an execute nest. But, as usual, I was talking to people, and we were having these, like, just like exchanging of banter, seeing what everyone has, and we met, a group of people that came down from Portsmouth to London to play Pokemon. And this is common, because London, like, the different places have different spawns because of the biomes, as I spoke about earlier. So they came down to London, and they were just effectively completing their Pokedex as much as they can, and they were down for the weekend, but because they were not from London, they didn't know the area well. I obviously know the area quite well. Let's say I know it quite well. And what I did was, we exchanged details, and we started talking on Facebook. We found that we had a lot in common, the things we like, things we dislike. And what I did was, I took all the Pokemon that they needed to catch in that weekend, cross-referenced it with all of my map data, And then I gave him a list of what was possible and what was doable, and I also tried to tailor it so that it was a very scenic and, like, it's a very, very, like, lovely route, so that they get the best of both worlds, because I knew that I wouldn't be able to play for that long, mainly because I was tethering my internet and all of that fun stuff, because, you know, Bay was down, Alex was down, so I had a lot of these things to think about. So for me, I wasn't, playing the game wasn't my priority, it was just make sure that they had a good time. And it was such a good time. We saw some amazing sights and caught the most amazing Pokemon. And by the end of it, they had caught everything that they wanted to catch that day, based on the list that I sent them. And it was a very long message, and it was very cool to just see these people that we'd met in a span of 10 minutes, but effectively garnered a lifetime friendship. That is the power of Pokemon Go. That is why I will always, for the most part, put money down and spend some time on this game. That is why. Because those experiences are worth much more than any coin that you can claim, any coin that you can put down. Because those are life experiences. That is what I'm all about. And with that, those are my stories. Hopefully, this will not perform as badly as the last one, but knowing statistics and knowing what people are interested in, probably gonna be worse. But again, as you know, this is a conversational podcast where I talk to you about things that matter to me today. This has been Barely Superman. Signing off. Goodbye.